The Prime Minister and the Finance Minister are keeping tax cuts on the agenda, despite not knowing the cost of last week's earthquakes. Opponents, such as Labour leader Andrew Little, say that's crazy when the rebuild must be prioritised. So would a tax cut be irresponsible? We're joined by the Salvation Army researcher Alan Johnson and economist Bryce Wilkinson from the New Zealand Initiative. Good morning, kia ora to you both.
Good morning, Kim.
Check with you, Bryce Wilkinson? Isn't it purely notional to talk about tax cuts at this point, given that we don't know how much the cost of the earthquakes are going to be, whether we're going to have a surplus at all?
Well, it's prudent fiscal policy to look at future spending growth and the profile for that, and Treasury is actually doing a seminar on its long-term fiscal projections this afternoon, which will be interesting in that comment. So the important thing is that tax rates overall are set to give the revenue which government requires over the medium and longer term.
Well, the government doesn't know how much revenue it's going to require because it doesn't know how much the quakes are going to cost, so why are we talking about tax cuts at all?
Well, the economic growth is very strong. The government's running a bit of a surplus.
It's got big debt, right?
It's got debt. It's been getting debt down. It's perfectly appropriate to use debt to fund capital spending. The interest cost of that is what falls on operating costs and therefore requires taxes to cover. But generally, you don't look to taxes to cover capital spending.
Are there any circumstances, let me ask you this, are there any economic circumstances in which you would say no to tax cuts?
As an individual taxpayer, of course, you'd want to know that the benefits of the taxes you're paying are greater than the costs. But the important thing, economically speaking, is that whatever the spending is, whether it's good or bad, it needs to be funded from revenue.
Are you in favour of tax cuts per se? In other words, are there no economic circumstances under which you think tax cuts would not be a good idea?
No, that's what I'm saying, they are. Taxes have to be set at a level. Is that always a good idea?
Are they?
No, not at all.
All right.
I mean, government has to fund its spending and it needs to do that out of revenue. So you've got to have taxes to fund spending.
Of course you have to have taxes.
It's just not an issue.
But the government's argument is that the government doesn't necessarily do things very well in terms of social welfare. And that's why it would rather give people tax cuts than throw more money into an allegedly bottomless pit.
Well, that's an entirely proper sort of value for money, cost-benefit proposition. If welfare programs aren't producing net benefits, then why continue with
them? Alan Johnson, then, you would have to say that the welfare programs are worth every penny we spend on them, and yet they're having very little effect, right?
Many of the welfare programs are simply there to maintain incomes, of course. So, you know, it's difficult to say that they're having a positive or a negative effect except that they're keeping people alive. So, you know, I think one of the arguments about saying that welfare programs don't work is to misunderstand actually what they're there for.
No, but I mean,
the biggest welfare program we've got is the New Zealand superannuation.
If the tax cuts put more money in low to middle income people's pockets, then that would relieve their stress, would it not?
There's a number of ways of assisting low and middle income households, and one of them is tax cuts. The other way is to think about what you get with the tax dollars that are spent, in particular, for example, in education and healthcare. And obviously another way is through things like Working for Families, which, to be honest, hasn't been topped up or brought up to inflation for the last 5 or 6 years.
How do you argue, then, against tax cuts?
Look, I think we need to look at the other deficits we're running in our society. You know, we do have a social deficit. We do have a very long tail in educational failure. The government isn't really funding demographic and population growth in the health sector, and our infrastructure is behind in terms of what we need in Auckland and elsewhere. And I think this earthquake and the legacy that's going to leave is a further reason not to have tax cuts.
I mean, I feel like we're all living on different planets here. And, I, you know, on the one hand, we're told that the economy is doing really well and we can afford tax cuts. And on the other hand, you're saying the social deficit belies that claim.
Look, there has been a fairly conservative fiscal sort of approach by Mr. English over the last 5 or 6 years. He has kept the reins on the government purses very tight. And that's fair enough because we needed to control the deficit and we needed to focus on debt. But the reality is that we've, particularly after the Christchurch earthquakes, we went past or we ignored a whole lot of problems that now I think are starting to mount and we need to address them.
Why are tax cuts, Bryce Wilkinson, per se a good thing more often than not?
Well, it depends on the situation whether they are a good thing.
You mean the individual or the country?
For the country. At the moment, I think what the government might be talking about is just holding tax to increase at the same speed as GDP. And most people wouldn't think of that as a tax cut. But that's what fiscal drag does. As incomes go up, people go from the 48,000 over the 48,000 bracket into the higher tax one.
New Zealand's not particularly highly taxed, though, is it?
It's a bit below the OECD average, but it's very highly taxed compared to its history, its historical circumstances.
But we usually compare ourselves to the OECD, so in those terms we're not highly taxed, so...
No, but if you compared us with Singapore or Hong Kong or someone, we would be.
But
the OEC tends to be a high tax part of the world.
Do we think that this might be an election bribe simultaneously, whatever the merits of it?
It doesn't sound like one. I mean, giving back fiscal drag is quite normal behaviour. Mr Muldoon used to do it a lot in his mini budgets. Yeah.
Could it be sold to you that way, Alan Johnson?
Look, I think there's two ways of cutting taxes. One is to cut the tax rates. The other is to adjust the scales or the thresholds at which taxes apply. And I think, you know, there is some merit in agreeing that thresholds should be changed as incomes rise, particularly, taking account of inflation. But we may also see cuts in the rates of taxes, which, of course, is a really hard thing to grab back if you need it sometime in the future.
The implication of people arguing against tax cuts, of course, is often analysed as suggesting that people can't look after their own money, that, you know, they might spend the tax cuts on things that aren't necessarily good or poverty alleviating in themselves.
Well, I think the argument around tax cuts is what you want from public services, to be honest. And do you expect, for example, New Zealanders to start to pay for their healthcare, or should we have a health system a public health system that's adequate for New Zealanders' needs? And that's a choice we make when we accept or don't accept the need for tax cuts.
And do you think they're going to happen, Alan Johnson?
I think Mr. English and Mr. Key will pursue this as a line of as an option for the election. I think they'll be modest in their scale. I think they'll be used as a way of encouraging people to support the government. And I think it'll be a useful point of difference between the government and the opposition coming into the election.
So it'll be an ideological issue rather than a major economic one?
I expect so.
What do you think, Dr. Wilkinson?
I think it's more likely that they'll stop tax revenues from growing a lot faster than GDP than it is that they'll reduce taxes as a ratio of GDP.
Cheers. Thank you both for your time. I've been talking to Salvation Army researcher Alan Johnson, also with the Child Poverty Action Group, and economist Dr. Bryce Wilkinson from the New Zealand Initiative.